نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. فالحمد لله, today is the 22nd of July in the year 2006, and yesterday I was talking about the incredible virtues of the glorious houses of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the last narration I got to was the one in which it mentions with regards to the glorious masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you get a good deed, an evil deed erased, and a good deed recorded for every step you take going back to your dwelling. And of course your dwelling is back in Chestnut. Right? So again, for the Masjid al-Nabi, there is a word that is meant with Allah alayhi wa sallam. Now in the masjid, obviously there's various types of amal you can do, various types of good deeds. One of the incredible good deeds you can do is the call to prayer, the azan. So what are the various virtues with regards to the call to prayer? Hakim in his Mustadrak states Sahih to the criteria of Imam Bukhari, Zahabi Sahih. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reports that Abu Lubid Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who has called the azan, the call to prayer, for 12 years, then paradise becomes wajib for him. And for every azan that he calls, then 60 hasanat, i.e. virtues, blessings, are written for him. And for his calling the iqamah, this is the call just prior to the start of the obligatory prayer, then 30 hasanat are written for him. So in this report it mentions that it's quite a task, but if you can do the azan for 12 years, paradise becomes wajib for you. The reward is paradise. But for each azan, you get 60 virtues, hasanat, blessings, and for each aqama, 30 blessings. Now 12 years may seem an impossible task. However, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified further in Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, as Abu Hurairah relates radiyallahu anhu. We were once with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Bilal radiyallahu called out the azan. When he had finished, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, whoever says with yaqeen, i.e. certainty, the like of that which Bilal said, he will enter paradise. Subhanallah. So this is a sahih hadith. Now this report is not even talking about the muazzin now. It's talking about people who are listening to the azan. But it mentions that if you listen to what he says and you believe in it in absolute, with absolute certainty, everything that's been said, Allah is great, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, I bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rush to prayer, rush to success, Allah is great, there is no God but Allah, you believe this with certainty, then you will enter paradise. In other words, it's the most beloved deed to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence the 12 years mentioned in the initial narration may be referring to the highest grades of paradise. This is the important thing with regards to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You hear the single report, you go, that can't be that, 12 years. But then the other report mentions, hey, but this is the previous one mentioned that you get, but that's talking about maybe the highest grades of paradise. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. In another report, in Tirmidhi, Tabarani in his Awsat and Zahir, Majma' al-Zawaid al-Haythami, he states, all the narrators are sound except one. However, the one, Ibn Hibban, rahmatullah alayhi, states, he is also thiqqah, reliable. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, three people shall neither be terrified by the greatest horror, i.e. on the day of resurrection, nor shall they even be rendered to make an account of their deeds. And they will be upon mounds of musk until the reckoning of the creation is completed. Let's stop the report. So obviously we're all yearning now, oh, I'm in these three categories. So what are the three things? You will not be frightened on the day of resurrection. You will not even be given, you know, produce your account, even that is, no, he doesn't need to produce his account. And you will be on mounds of musk while everybody else is sweating it out with their account. The first is he who reads the Quran seeking only the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he then leads the salah in a manner so that whom he is leading are pleased. In other words, a blessed soul who reads the Quran has got an attachment to the Quran, and he's also the imam. But everybody looks at him, because you know you have to go in front. You know, we feel ashamed to, you know, stand in front of this sort of mentality. That person is worthy of this incredible reward. Number two, the other is he who calls towards the salat seeking only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it, no condition. The one who does the azan doesn't mention 12 years, doesn't mention 5 times, just mentions the one who calls the people to prayer. And the third is he who maintains a good relationship with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and also his subordinates. So you're a man of authority, people are under your charge, and you show kindness to them, you be just to them fair, and of course you are trying your best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why have I mentioned this hadith? Let's leave the first and the third one out. The azan is mentioned in between. So what does this mean? It means you should at least try to get a few azans into your account before the inevitable. Now some people say, well, I haven't got a nice voice. But then the thing is, with every deed you should try to beautify your voice. Abu Lubin Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told a sahaba who saw the azan, he had a dream. This is in Abu Dawood, authentic hadith, and he was told the azan in his dream, his sahaba radiallahu. When he told the Prophet ﷺ about his dream, the Prophet said to that Sahaba, go and tell Bilal radiallahu to do the azan, because he's got a strong voice. So this is part of our teaching, to have a nice voice, because you're calling people to the prayer. There's no doubt about that. However, you shouldn't let that get in the way. You just try your best, practice your azan. Right? So again, you know, you can practice those silly tunes that that people play day in and day out. What about the azan? And again, you'll be surprised how quickly you can beautify it. But even if you don't have a beautiful voice, if you say it in monotone, as they say, you're still a mu'azzin. It doesn't mention that you'll lose that maqam, you understand? But of course, you should try and beautify your voice. In a similar narration, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the second category, in Tirmidhi, Hassan Gharib, the one who has been calling azan for the 5 prayers day and night, he is also worthy of that incredible reward. So there is a report that mentions that. It is no wonder then that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in Sahih Muslim, the Muazzin shall have the longest neck on the day of resurrection. Now this is a figure of speech. What it means is that people will be lifting their heads and looking in awe. Who's that person sitting on that mountain of musk? And you'll be thinking, is he a prophet? Is he a sahaba? Is he a siddiq? And they will say, no, he's the muazzin. And what's fascinating, on the earth people don't even think it's even such a great deed. They say, oh, you do it. you do it. And on the day of judgment, why wasn't I doing it? They'll have the longest neck on the day of resurrection. In Abu Dawud, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu reports that Abu Lubin Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Imam is responsible and the Muazzin is entrusted, I with the time. And then he did a dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide the Imams and forgive the Muazzin. If somebody says to you, I know a deed, if you do it, you're entitled to a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody goes, what deed is that for me now? And you start thinking it's going to be some crazy deed, maybe jihad, something that I can't do. Azan was it. Then he goes, which hadith is that one? That classic line from the Abu Dawood, authentic. Forgive the Muazzin. Once you've done it once, you've got that station. You've got that dua of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's recap. You understand? Let's put that into bullet points now. Number one, the Muazzin, all their sins are forgiven. Number two, he will have no worry or regret on the day of resurrection. Look at that, look how great a reward there is, nor would he's at all on the day of resurrection. And paradise is theirs. Now what's interesting is what Hazrat Umar said radiallahu, Hazrat Umar had said radiallahu in Hayat al-Sahaba, if I was not the Khalif, the Muazzin would have been enough for me to be the Muazzin. He goes, that is such an immense deed, because I would have loved to be a, have been the Muazzin. He goes, if I wasn't the Khalif, if I didn't have these responsibilities. Hazrat Ali radiallahu, he said in Hayat al-Sahaba, he was grieving. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu was grieving, and somebody goes, why do you grieve, say, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu? And look what he said. He goes, oh, how I wish I could have asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make my two sons the Muazzin. I forgot to ask him. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu, I wish, why didn't I ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make him the, they made them the Muazzin. Look at that, they are the leaders of the youths of paradise. Right, and what's interesting is at the end of time there's a report that mentions that the lowly people will do the azan, because people who have lost the understanding with regards to how great a deed it is. In Bukhari, in his Sahih, look what our beloved Messenger said to the Lord, he said, if people had known what the reward for the azan and the first row in the congregation carries, then they would have found no other recourse but to draw lots, I to designate who would win the privilege, and they would certainly do so. Said our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahih Bukhari. So what did our beloved Messenger say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If the people knew, in other words, if you don't know, this will be a strange thing to you. But if you knew the reward for the azan and the first row, you would have to draw lots. You'd be fighting over it. So to stop bloodshed, he goes, look, let's draw lots. That way nobody has any argument over this. If you knew, and then at the end the Prophet said, they would certainly do so. In other words, I'm telling you, it's not metaphorical. You would certainly do so. And this actually happened in the Battle of Qadisiyah. There's another story. Even if one is traveling and praying alone, one should offer both the azan and the iqamah. So even when you're by yourself, you're traveling, you're a traveler. By yourself, people say, do I have to do the azan? No, brother, you don't have to do the azan. Do I have to do the iqamah? No, brother, you don't have to do the iqamah. Do I have to pray salat? Yes, you do. Now, the question is, the azan and the iqamah, why should you do it by yourself? In Abdul Razak, in his Musannaf, Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if a man finds himself alone in a wilderness, and the time of salat has arrived, he should then perform wudu, and if he does not find water, he should perform tayyamum. Then, if he only calls out the iqamah, that's just the one that you do before the Fard prayer, then both his angels offer salat to him. Subhanallah, kiram al-kazibin, they go, you have to pray with him. Kiram al-kazibin, what sort of salat they're gonna do? And look at the time, how many times we dishonor the Kiram al-Katibin. The Prophet said, show respect to your neighbors. The Sahaba goes, who's our neighbors? He goes, you're recording in. So one way to honor them is when you're by yourself, do the iqamah. They will join in to pray with you. But then the Prophet said, but if he calls the azan and the iqamah, then such a vast number of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forces, I, the angels alayhi salam, will perform the prayer along with him, that even the two ends of their rows cannot be seen by the human eye. Subhanallah. In other words, you'll be thinking, where did these angels finish? Where did those angels finish? And what did it? Your azam and the iqamah. And what's fascinating is, it's the unseen world. So you're still thinking, I'm praying myself. I'm in my hotel by myself. Right? But this is again shaitan's whisper. Do the azan and do the iqamah. At the very least, do the iqamah to get your kiram and qazibin to pray behind you. Beloved Messenger had also said to the Allah alayhi wasallam in Ahmad Tabarani in his Kabir Bazaar, every living or non-living creation that hears his voice supplicates for his forgiveness. Subhanallah. So you do the azan, you're by yourself in the wilderness. Angels all over the place, we know, explain that. Ants have heard your azan, they pray for your forgiveness. I don't know what other lives of our life they're going to be. Like cockroaches, they pray for your forgiveness. Grasshoppers, pray for your forgiveness. Flies, pray for your forgiveness. Slugs, pray for your forgiveness. Everything that has got life is now forced to pray for your forgiveness. Look at that, and how many times, you know, when I went back home, I saw this muazzin do the azan in the middle of a field, Bali, I think it was, just saw his head on the top, and doing azan. I thought, what's that much other doing? Middle of a field, and we're on Tonga going past, you know, horse and cart on the day of judgment. We have to testify for it. Everybody who hears his voice has to testify, and everything that heard him prays for his forgiveness. This is why some of the ulama have said you should also pray for their forgiveness. So everybody else is praying for their forgiveness. Now Shaitan, he is such an evil creation. Look what he does. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, when Shaitan hears the azan, he breaks wind. Panfusi kumza. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He breaks wind and he flees. He goes to a place, the Prophet ﷺ said, I can't remember the place he mentioned, miles away from Al-Madinah. When the azan finishes, he comes back to do his mischief. When he hears the iqamah, he breaks wind again and he flees again. Then, when the iqamah is finished, he comes back to do his mischief. Question, why did he break wind? Why did he flee? So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, the commentator of Imam Muslim Sahih, in his shah, he said, Shaitan breaks wind because he doesn't want to pray for your forgiveness. Shaitan breaks wind because he doesn't want to be humiliated even more on the day of resurrection, because he will have to testify for you. In other words, before you go to hell, did you hear him do the azan? Yep. How humiliating is that? I'm going to hell, I'm still testifying for them. So look how he hates the azan. You understand? So when you're by yourself, you're thinking, yes, I'm just to get him, you know, get him angry, I'm going to do it. Right? And the azan also has other benefits as well. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Imam Ahmad Muslim that there's a jinn called the ghoul. The English word is called ghoul, G-H-O-U-L. And he likes to frighten human beings. You know, he's a sad jinn, but that's what he likes doing. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you experience the ghoul or the ghoul, recite the azan, i.e. that will frighten him. So this is also against the evil jinn. They're scared of this as well, the azan. Right? So the azan is an act of worship that has so many blessings, so many virtues. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, you'll fight for it if you understood. But the question is, do you understand the incredible virtue of the azan? In another report, as is well known, one makes a dua after the azan. In Tirmidhi, it's Hasan. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a dua made between the azan and iqamah is always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at that. The azan's done. Now because the azan's been done and the iqamah is waiting, Allah Ta'ala loves that time so much, because anybody makes dua at that time, I'm going to answer it. The companions thereupon asked eagerly, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what dua should we make at that time? In other words, if it's going to be answered, do tell us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety and security in this world and in the hereafter. Now this is very important. The Prophet ﷺ would not give you second best advice. You understand? Even if you don't understand, that, well, what about paradise? What about, you know, money? What about, look, this is what the Prophet ﷺ told you to ask for. So when the azan don't ask for whatever you want, mashallah, but always ask for afiyah. Put that into your dua. Well-being in this world and in the akhirah. Before, so again, the azan. There's many other virtues with regards to the azan. Another one that comes to memory in Hayat al-Sahaba, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said that the angels alayhi salam, if they could come onto the earth, in other words, whenever they wish, they can't do that. Allah Ta'ala has to give them permission. They would not allow you to do two acts of worship. You wouldn't get a chance. The Sahaba asked, what are those two acts of worship that are so precious, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tawaf. They wouldn't give you a chance to do the Tawaf. And the Azan. Sorry, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reports the Hadith radiyallahu. Because they wouldn't give you a chance to do the Azan. So again, try and get it into your life. So about the Azan, is there any questions you want to ask before I just make a start on this number section? The important thing is get it into your life, right? Practice it if you want, but make sure you do it. And if you're embarrassed, do it after this. There's nobody in Fajr. Before starting the obligatory prayer, one should use the miswak. This is something else that people find strange. You'll notice that when the ikamah is pronounced, some people start getting this vodka and then you start thinking, what? They're getting ready to eat. You know, what's this? What's happening there? In Badar, Al-Haytami, in Majma, Al-Zawaid state, Fiqqa, it's a sound hadith. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two rakats of salah offered with miswak are superior in virtue to 70 rakats without the miswak. 35 times superior. So when you're doing 4 rakats farz, you have the imam. That becomes, according, if you take it literally, that becomes times about 35. 140 rakats farz. Somebody goes, Steve, what did I get that for? Is it? Because you're using the miswak. Haven't you got a miswak? Somebody goes, Steve, brother, get it off him. I don't care if he's got bad breath, I'm going to get his reward. So get a miswak, you understand? Before the salat. It is no wonder then that our beloved Messenger had said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, were it not for the fear of overburdening my ummah, I would then have ordered them to use the siwak at every salat. Look how merciful he is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's so much reward there, and he wanted to make it further than us. So you'd get that reward, but then he realized that we're so weak, you still wouldn't probably do it, astaghfirullah. We'll get punished then, innit? So he then said, What he could only say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, if it wasn't to overburden my ummah, I would have ordered this. Look how sad it is, isn't it? We still don't do it. The blessed Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would use the miswak so much that in Hakim in his Mustadrak it mentioned he used it when he woke up. So he would wake up and the first thing he would do was use the miswak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, the miswak is something that you should get into your life. Times and places to use the miswak, all from the sunnah. In Bazaar, it's an authentic hadith. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beautify your mouth for the Quran. What this means is that you use the miswak, you clean out any bad odors before reciting the Quran. This is sunnah. Number two, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wife Aisha radiallahu anha relates that when he went to the masjid, when he was going for the salat, he will use the miswak when he left the dwelling. So he used the miswak when he left the dwelling for the prayer. In another report, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the Prophet will use the miswak every time he entered his dwelling. So when you enter your dwelling, to use the miswak is sunnah. When he did the tahajjud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would brush his holy teeth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was the last deed that he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he left his mortal world. He didn't have the strength to use it, but Hazrat Aisha noticed he wanted the miswak. He got her brother's miswak, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu. This is in Sahih Bukhari, a Muslim. And she put it into his hand, and she herself brushed his teeth. And then the narration mentions that the miswak dropped. Why would he want to use the miswak? Why did he want to make it the last deed? So Hafiz Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi said in Mirqat that if a person regularly uses the miswak, Allah the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give him the tawfiq to recite the kalima at the time of his death. Right? Because that's a danger. You know, everybody goes, I'm going to say it. How deep are you going to say it? Many people have died without saying the shahada. But one of the great ways to ensure that is to use the miswak. And also the Prophet said in Sahih Bukhari, it's pleasing to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You don't need a hadith with regards to the reward. If somebody goes to you, I know something, if you do it, it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it, brother? Miswak? In another hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi sallam told me to use the miswak so much, I thought I'd chop my mouth off. In other words, use the miswak, use the miswak, use the miswak. In a hadith in Tirmidhi, our beloved authentic hadith, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all the messengers and prophets use the siwak, every one of them. So when you're using the miswak, you're not only following the sunnah of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're following the sunnah of all the messengers and prophets alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true models, not the Beckhams and the Tom Cruises, astaghfirullah. The true models, the true heroes, right? The messengers of Allah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the miswak. They also use atar as well, mentioned in Dhimman. So if you have a little bottle of atar, that's also good. You can find an example of the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't matter if you get expensive or not expensive, just get the atar. And also with regards to the miswak, there's a report in Abu Ya'la where our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was told so much to use the miswak that I thought revelation of the Quran was going to be revealed because of it. If you read the Quran, there's not a verse about the miswak, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I thought it was going to happen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, he would give gifts of the miswak to the Sahaba. And what's interesting is he would give it to the Sahaba, and the Sahaba said, you've already got miswak, but we'll still take your gift, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's something you can give as gift. But the other thing very important about the miswak is to keep it clean, keep it soft, keep it clean. Some people leave it in the plastic, it's fine, but as long as you keep it clean. In a hadith in Ibn Majah, Hazrat Aisha would leave a container of water so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could put his miswak into that water to keep it soft. Right, so this is also sunnah, keep it a small container of water, leave your miswak in it to keep it soft. And there's so many other reports with regards to the miswak, but again the important thing is to get it into your life. And again, the rewards are unending. So is there any question with regards to the miswak you want to ask the siwak? We'll stop there. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله